From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present the second half of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast, in which Hank talked with renowned patristic scholar and professor of philosophy, Jean-Claude Larcher, author of The Theology of Illness. Let's now join Hank and Dr. Larcher in their conversation.
One of the quotes I read in your book by John Climacus, who is my patron saint, who said, when a man is unified and filled with divine love, we can behold in his body as though reflected by a mirror the brightness and serenity of his soul, just as it happened to Moses, when after he had been honored with the vision of God, his faith shone with light. I believe that the bodies of those persons who have become incorruptible are not as susceptible to illness as others are. For, having been purified by all the pure flame of divine love, they are no longer subject to any form of corruption. And then you qualify that. You say in your book, nevertheless, for them as for all humankind, perfect health of the body during this life can never be attained. In this world, perfect health never exists in absolute form. Health is always a matter of partial and temporary equilibrium. We can even say that health in this present age is simply a matter of lesser illness. This quote from John Climacus, I think, is absolutely fantastic.
Yes, when you have the opportunity of meeting the saints, you see that they seem to be very young, to be full of energy. And it is something that comes from above. It's because divine energies are inhabiting in them. And what we see, like the brightness of their face and the youth they seem to have and the energy they have, is not their own, but a gift they receive in their fragile, in their humble body, as in a cup of earth. And you know, that's a side of the question. But the other side is the illness that many saints have to endure at different moments of their life, or often at the end of her life. For example, Father Paisius the Athanite, the well-known elder of the 20th century, had cancer during 7 years, and he didn't go to an hospital, didn't want to see a doctor, and endure the pain of this cancer during many times. And that is also something which can help us, because these saint people, through the grace of God and through their passionlessness, the passionlessness they attained through their own ascesis, were able to endure a very, very great suffering and able to transcend all the worst conditions of our fallen world. And this is precisely what God wants to teach us. He, through the capacity that Christ himself, during his passion and on the cross, had to endure suffering and the perspective of death, was a process in which he acquired for us the grace to do the same thing when we are confronted with pain, with suffering, with illness, and with death. And this is a grace we can get from Christ when we are united with him. So I think that these saints testify also of the capacity that the man having the grace of Christ has to overcome all the limitation of this world and to be with God, united with him, and feeling the joy coming from the union with God. in spite of the worst conditions around them in the fallen world.
I wonder if you can expand on that a little bit. This is so foreign to most of our listeners, but maybe if you can expand on this whole idea of divine energies, that there is such a thing as biological energy, but there's also such a thing as zoetic energy, an uncreated energy, for only God is uncreated. And thus, when we partake, for example, the Eucharist, we're partaking of uncreated energy, and that energy can allow us to endure sickness in a different way, with the brightness, the serenity of the soul that you spoke of, and that is reflected in the quote that I gave from John Climacus.
Yes, we have spoken previously of the difference between Western conception and Eastern conception, or Orthodox conception and Catholic and Protestant conception concerning deification. Why? There is no deification for the Protestant or Catholic spirituality. One of the reasons is that they have not this conception we have of uncreated energy. Because for them, grace is something created. There is a theology of created grace in St. Thomas of Aquinas, for example, and this is the, we can say, the official conception of Catholicism. And for that reason, man, Christian, remains always, even when he's considered as perfect morally, he remains in the area of the natural world. He's unable to transcend this natural world and to participate really and in being transformed in the uncreated world. We have a different conception through our theology of divines in created energies, because what is in created energy? It's another way to name grace. Grace is in created energy, and in created energy is grace. So when we receive grace from God, this is not something natural, but something we through which we can access in the world of God himself, in the proximity of God himself. You know that God precisely is communicating with us, but not only communicating, not only giving a knowledge of what it is, but also is giving really his gift through this uncreated energy. And then when we receive this uncreated energy, we are put in the divine world. We are divinized by this energy itself. And this is why also we have a veneration for the holy relics, because we think that in the what remains of the body of the dead saints, energies were in them during their life remain present, and we can be in communication with them in venerating their bones or their some parts of their body that remain among us. And through the icons, it is the same. There is a communication of the energy of the saints. This is something completely foreign to the Western traditions. And actually, this conception of uncreated energy is very, very important for us. It's because of these energies and not through another way that we can become God by grace, because this energy, divine energy, is grace itself, and grace is divine energy.
I want to ask you a personal question. This question starts with my own diagnosis. I was diagnosed with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma, April 15, 2017. I was chrismated on Palm Sunday, April 9th, so just a few days before I was diagnosed with cancer. I have lived with this cancer now for over a year, and I have never really felt the effects of it in the full sense, meaning that I've been able to go through chemotherapy and continue working. I've been able to continue traveling and speaking as I did when I saw you in Crete. I feel strong, I feel healthy. It does really give the doctors consternation. They haven't really seen anybody with my particular disease react this way to it. I don't want to make myself a saint in any way or even put myself forward in some way, but I do want to forward the grace of God. I have had the feeling in my own heart that the fact that I've been able to partake of the spiritual graces within the context of the church has given me an energy that is not natural, but rather supernatural.
Yes, you know, what is important to understand is that illness and suffering is nothing, something good in itself. Because through illness and through suffering, we can go, in a way, against God. We can ever go to a revolt against God and asking why God has given me this illness or this suffering, or why does he allow that?
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with philosopher Jean-Claude Larcher. In his profound book, The Theology of Illness, Professor Jean-Claude Larcher offers provocative proclamations on suffering and illness, such as, "There is no question that people today have far fewer resources than their ancestors did to deal with illness." Simply put, The Theology of Illness will challenge your understanding of what true health really is. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Welcome back to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Let's rejoin Hank and Dr. Jean-Claude Larcher in their conversation.
You know, what is important to understand is that illness and suffering is nothing, something good in itself. Because through illness and through suffering, we can go, in a way, against God. We can ever go to a revolt against God and asking why God has given me this illness or this suffering, or why does he allow that? And many, many other temptations are connected to illness and to suffering. And in another way, if suffering is able to drive man to evil and to despair and to self-destruction, in another way, it can be an opportunity to realize real spiritual progress. That's the reason why, you know, some saints ask to God in their prayer to have a cancer. For example, it was the case of Saint Porphyrius, a saint who has been living among us in the 20th century. Because if you are living your pain and your illness in God, with the grace of God, we can make spiritual progress you are not able to make through another way. Because through pain, through suffering, through illness, it's possible very quickly to weaken patients, even to kill some patients, and to progress in many virtues, at first in patience, in perseverance, in compassion, in love of God, in love of the neighbor. And this can be a true way of spiritual development, but this is only possible by the grace of God. Our own will and our own effort are absolutely necessary, because we must ask for the grace of God. God doesn't give us his grace without our free will. But in this way, we can make very, very quick and very great progress. And that's the reason why, after having some heavy illness, some saints were very, very grateful to God to have given them such pain and such illness, because it was an invited way for them to realize in few years what needs generally many, many years, because it's like an ascesis in an ascis, in short, you know. And but it is necessary to realize some conditions. If you don't receive illness and pain in union with God and hoping in God and in living with the grace of God and in making efforts to endure with patience your illness, then this progress is not possible. Though it depends on the way in which man faces illness and pain. You know, the reason why some fathers, for example, Saint John Cassian, say that illness and pain are not good or not bad in itself. What is good or bad is the way in which man faces them.
Yes, and you actually, in this regard, you make what I would call a very provocative statement, namely that health is evil. It's evil if it contributes to making a person indifferent to his salvation. It's evil if it keeps him away from God. It's an even greater evil if it's used to give free rein to the passions. So there's so much wisdom in this book where you point out that there's no necessary relationship between the health of the body and the health of the soul. And before you comment on that, I want to quote another saint. And this is something that I love about the book. It is, you are very, very familiar with the Holy Fathers. And as you read through the book, you're quoting one Holy Father after another. And it's absolutely intoxicating. It's just brilliant and it's very edifying. But this is Saint Cyprian, who says, "For as long as we live in this world, we are linked to the human species by the identity of our body. It is only by the spirit that we are differentiated from it. This is why we share with all men the inconveniences of the flesh until this perishable nature puts on the imperishable. When a city is invaded by the enemy, its captivity marks all of its inhabitants without any distinction. And when the clear sky dashes all hope of rain, the drought threatens everyone equally. When a ship is hemmed in all about by rocks, the ensuing shipwreck becomes the common fate of all the passengers without exception. So it is with our suffering. Whether it affects our eyes, our limbs, or our body as a whole, it affects us all together for as long as we all share in the same nature in this world. This again demonstrates no necessary relationship between the health of the body and the health of the soul.
Exactly. That's the reason why we can be affected by illness or suffering and corruption and death too. The reason without having a personal sin is that there is a solidarity between all humanity, and we are under the dependence of the sins that Adam and Eve have committed in the beginning of the age, but also of all the sins committed by all humans in the past. You know, we point often the sin of Adam and Eve, but the Apostle Paul speaks also of all men who have sinned in the same way as Adam. So many, many men, and we too, have added sins to the sins of Adam and Eve, and this sinfulness of humanity has confirmed the corruption that resulted from the sin of our first ancestors. And in this state of corruption, which connected pain, illness, suffering are connected, and death too, this state of corruption is partaken by all humans. No importance is their degree of goodness or spirituality. That's the reason why the saints have the same illnesses, the same pains as very great sinners, because all men have to endure the consequences of the sins of all humanities. And conversely, we can say that each good we make, even the very, very, very small, has consequences upon all humanity. If all we make for God, all effort we make, as each progress we make in virtue, progress we make in fighting against passions, is as a consequence not only on ourselves, on our personal being, but also on our family, on the people living around us in the same city, but also on the all humanity. And so it's very important to have this sense of responsibility for people. That's the reason why, for example, Dostoevsky said, I feel guilty for all humanity. I feel guilty not only for me and for my own state, but for the state of all human people. And this sense of guilt is very, very strong in the Russian spiritual tradition.
You quote Dostoevsky, and I think about another quote in your book by Dostoevsky, where he says, a healthy man is always an earthly, material man, but as soon as he falls ill, the normal earthly order of his organism is disturbed. Then the possibility of another world makes itself known to him at once, and as the illness worsens, his relations with this world become ever closer. So illness really becomes a method by which we are driven into the arms of God.
It's very, very important also, this quotation of Dostoevsky. Dostoevsky was a very deep writer, and he understood in a very, very deep way that suffering is something that make us more aware. He wrote everywhere, suffering man is then a man with a greater conscience, awareness. And I think that he point also that else is not necessarily something good, because, for example, when Christ liberates someone from his illness, he says also to him, don't sin again, and what is important is not the health, but what we do with this health.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Professor Jean-Claude Larcher in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you Professor Jean-Claude Larcher's book, The Theology of Illness. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.